with you and to fellowship with you on this grand occasion. The dedication of your new facility. And it's a joy. And as the song said, I'm glad. We all have different experiences. I've had mine. You're presently going through an experience that I have yet to witness. And that is to start a work from the ground and be the ones to serve as the architects of a new work. This is something that I will gain by being in your fellowship this week. Glad to get the opportunity finally to work with Brother Lee. We have conversed over the telephone on many occasions. And sometimes it's difficult to put the voice with the face. I've seen him before on other venues, but now I will always have the picture of the man because of our being together this week. As I look out, I see so many that I have known over the years. I have been in and out of East Texas on many occasions, and probably as long as I've been preaching, because I started with my father as a boy, young man, listening to him preach, and he used to preach under tents out here in East Texas. I wasn't interested in preaching then. I was interested in the girls then. But God has blessed me to put my perspectives right and grow to maturity. And so it's a pleasure to be here. Then to see so many of Greenville Avenue here. I do a lot of traveling, and a lot of times I'm away from the congregation, and a lot of times they don't know I'm gone until they arrive that Sunday. But they got me this time. They knew that I was going to be here. And many of them are here in great numbers today. And so every time I would see someone from Greenville Avenue come in, my heart just kept leaping and jumping. And I said, oh. And so I'd like for you to see all of those from Greenville Avenue. If you don't mind staying, all of you from the Greenville Avenue congregation, I'd like for you to stand. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. And then I looked out and I saw Sister Harris. Sister Lord Clay Harris. I know that's not your name, but that's your husband's name. It's good to see her. And so that made me glad. But last but not least, you know, I'm always blessed. I'm happy, but I'm blessed to have my wife with me. My wife and I have been married 38 years, and they have been good years, blessed years. And we have been blessed with four children. I have so many grandchildren now until I have to think about how many children that I have. We have four children and seven grandchildren. So we've had a good life together. And you would think that the years have taken a toll on a marriage like that for that many years. But I want y'all to see my wife. She doesn't show 38 years. That's a beautiful girl. Sister Gibbs, you don't mind, just let them see who you are. Yes, that's Sister Gibbs. That's Sister Gibbs. I must truly say, I would not be who I am if I did not have her. And so I'm thankful. As to the reader, I said, through verse 2, but I need to go through verse 3. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Based on verse number 3, I want to use this subject. No parking. No parking. When you travel the roadway, we see signs that say no standing, no parking. Life should never be seen in terms of standing still. The universe in which we live negates the fact that one can stand still. One must always be moving forward, growing, developing, because the law says, use it or lose it. It says that you and I must grow or we will die. So, as I speak to this church, I want you to understand that I know you had to come and cut away the trees that were on this property. And then you went through so many obstacles just to get where you are. But I must tell you that as you dedicate this building today, you cannot park here. You must continue to move forward. You see, when we look at this text, the Bible says to Israel, you have compassed this mount many days. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. He says, turn you northward. When God spoke to Israel, he's speaking to Israel in their second generation. 38 years ago, the same people had come to the very brink of their destiny, which was the land of Canaan. And because of their disobedience and their lack of faith, God refused to let them go over into Canaan. And what God did was he turned them backward and made them compass the mountain of Seir for 40 years. Now, when you think in terms of their position, God speaks to Moses and says, time is up. Turn you northward. This speaks to opportunity. It speaks to readiness. And it speaks to a second chance. And I'm glad to know that God is a God who understands opportunity when it's there. And I'm glad to know that God understands readiness on the part of a people. And I'm glad that God is a God of a second chance. When you think in terms of this lesson, may I say to you, number one, that you should not think in terms of parking until you reach your destiny. And what is the destiny? Israel's was Canaan. But your destiny, ladies and gentlemen, is a destiny that God intends for all of us to develop our lives in a doctrinal way, in a spiritual way. And I want you to just stay with me. And I'm like a train. I'm slow getting out of the, but I'm going to pick up some speed here in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. Notice the Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Notice, God doesn't want us to keep laying foundations. What God wants us to do is to go on unto perfection. In other words, that's another way of God saying that you cannot park when it comes to the doctrine and the teaching of God Almighty. Too many congregations are lax in their development and in their growth when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God. You and I cannot think that simply because we have laid the foundation, that's enough. God says, let us go on unto perfection. Get out of kindergarten. You've learned your ABCs now. Now it's time to put some sentences together. Now it's time to take what you've learned and make it have meaning in your life. So he says, what I want you to do is to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He's not saying leave the teaching of Christ, but he says you've already laid that first foundation of your spirituality. Now build upon it and move forward in your development. Our destiny is to preach and teach the whole doctrine and the whole counsel of Almighty God. Why did you build this facility if it was not to stand firm on the doctrine and the teaching of the Word of God? So as a church, while we dedicate and as we celebrate, we must understand that we got to move on and not park here. But we got to keep developing and growing in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, that's the first message because that's the destiny. The destiny is not putting in, you see, the type of necessary facility, as the emphasis needs to be on the doctrine and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Why did you come to Luke 281? It's to teach. Mm-hmm. It's to indoctrinate the people in this community. Now, not only that, but I like the fact that when we talk about our destiny, we need to understand that the destiny also includes not only a doctrinal emphasis, but it also emphasizes a personal Christian development. See, we as a congregation must develop in a congregational way. That's why the Bible says he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of ministry, till we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man. So I know that we have a congregational destiny, which means that while we have come here, we have come here to continue to develop this church in terms of its ministry, in terms of every member being involved in a ministry. And one of the most important ministries is the saving of the souls of men. You did not come here to enjoy just being with one another. You came here because God wants you to work in a ministry, and you cannot park here. You got to keep on moving. Amen. Amen. But the question is, moving where? Developing ministry. You haven't developed all of the ministries yet. Am I right about it? Why do you have a facility? It's enabling you to be able to take this facility and develop it and use it in the ministry and the work of God Almighty. Am I right about it? Let me say. Because I know that it's important for us to understand what our destiny is. Are you with me? Number one, our destiny is a doctrinal destiny. Number two, our destiny is to grow in the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Then thirdly, you cannot grow a church until you as an individual grow personally. Are you with me? See, if I'm not growing personally, that's why Peter will say, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness what? Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness what? Charity or love. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful, but you will be able to be developed in every good work. But a man who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. So the destiny of this church is congregational. But the destiny of this church is also individual. You can't make a contribution to this church if you are not growing individually yourself. Amen. Walls in life. So many of us need to understand that we cannot park in our move toward our perfection and our development. Your destiny is to keep growing. Your destiny is to serve as the doctrinal foundation and the lighthouse of this community, making sure that the world in this area is indoctrinated in the gospel and in the teaching of Christ. And you must understand that it is to be one that you and I have a right focus. Now, as I move and close, I want you to, but that may be 30, 40 minutes from now. But I'm closing. Now listen to me. You see, what I like about this text, as I move toward my conclusion, should be the best way to put that. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Go back there with me. And when you look at, notice he says, and command the people. I'm in verse number 4. Command the people. Command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves. And notice verse number 5. He says, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. So as we move toward our destiny, we must understand that God has provided the pathway by which you and I ought to accomplish and be able to secure the destiny that he has for us. Now, notice now, I want you to understand that this was a guided way. It was a way that had been prepared by God Almighty. Notice God said, I want you to turn northward. God didn't say, I want you to go to the east, to the west, or to the south. God said, I want you to go northward. In other words, you don't choose the way. God always chooses the way that you ought to develop and you ought to grow and you ought to achieve. God chooses that way. For the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God always chooses the way that you and I ought to go. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that what walketh to direct his own steps. What God does is that God always chooses the way in order for a man to travel and be successful in his journey. So it's a guided way. There are many people who lean on their own understanding and not on the understanding of God. God says, what I want you to do is to go through the land of Esau. But he said, I don't want you to meddle with them. He says, leave them alone, and I will not give you any of their land, not even a foot breadth of their land. In other words, you may walk through and see some land that you would like to possess, but I didn't give that to you. It may look good to you, but you better keep on moving, because that's not where I want you to be. So God always gives us the pathway, and he always dictates how we are to go. And then I like the fact that he said that the people of Esau, they are your brethren. Now, notice now, these are not people of covenant relationship, but yet God tells them concerning those people that they will give you food when you need it. Buy food from them and buy water from them. So when you go the way that God wants you to go, God always goes ahead of you and always prepares the hearts of the people that you have to pass by and that you have to go through. In other words, God said that when you go through, I want you to know I've already made them afraid of you. Now, that's a beautiful point. It's because when you go the way God wants you to go, God is already ahead of you, and God has already taken care of the people and already conditioned their hearts and their minds to sail to you and to provide you with water. That's because you're going the way.